It's good to be here again, another first day of the week, preparing ourselves for the next 6-7 days. It would be 7 days back to next Sunday, wouldn't it? I'm starting a series this morning. I've been looking so forward to this for a while now, because I think it touches the very heart of many Christians, more than you know. Some of the strongest people you think that are around you. Make sure I match that button. Yeah. Some of the strongest people that you see around you are bothered with what I'm going to be talking about over the next few weeks. If you live long enough, you know one thing is true. Sometimes life just doesn't make sense. I don't care how you look at it. Some things that happen sometimes just don't make sense. Hard times come. Frustrations come. Heartbreaks come. Unexpected loss can send us reeling. And sometimes, even though we know God loves us, the question is in the back of our minds, where is He? If you've never asked that question, you may not be human. Why isn't He answering me? In my deepest struggles, in the darkest times, when I am more lonely than I've ever been before, even though I've got a house full of people who live with me, and even though I have a church family that I see from time to time, I am more lonely than I've ever been. And where is God? Our prayer in those situations is, God, please change my circumstances. Lord, just give me a sign that you're listening to me and that you understand what I'm going through. I'm trying to be patient, but it seems like nothing ever changes. As a matter of fact, it seems like things are getting worse than better. This is not what I signed up for. I thought when I began to follow you, when I changed my life and I got on your side, things were supposed to be better for me. You're supposed to be there to help me. But I think I'm worse off now than before I became a Christian. And I begin to wonder in the back of my mind, is God really even a thing? Is He real? Does He even exist? Because why would a loving God allow me to go through what I'm going through? I think those sentiments are expressed in a poem that was written a long time ago. Nobody knows who wrote the poem. There were about 3 or 4 people fighting over it. They even went to court to sue each other about this poem. But the words of the poem are this. One night I dreamed a dream. And as I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes of my life. For each scene, I noticed 2 sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. And I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only 1 set of footprints. This really troubled me. So I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you would walk with me all the time, all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and the most troublesome times of my life, there was only 1 set of footprints. I don't understand why. When I needed you the most, you would leave me. He whispered, my precious child. I love you and I would never leave you. Never ever during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then I carried you. And the whole point of that poem is God had never left his side. God was carrying him when he couldn't walk. But in his mind, he couldn't see God. He couldn't feel God. He couldn't hear God. He couldn't touch God. And in his mind, God was not there. He was forsaken. These were the dark moments of his life. These are the dark moments of our lives where we begin to ask questions like, God, where are you? We begin to say and ask ourselves, is he even listening to me? Have I done something to offend him? We begin to examine our lives and look for the imperfection, something that we did last week or something that we did last year that we might not have fixed yet. Because we are convinced that the reason things are not changing is because of me. We say, Lord, I need to feel your presence. I need to know that you are here. Yes, we know the Bible verses that tell us God would never leave us and never forsake us. We even have some of our closest friends and brothers and sisters in Christ come up to us and hug us and whisper in our ear that God is listening to you, that God is there with you and he would never leave you and he would never forsake you. As soon as the hug is gone and we begin to walk away, we forgot what they said. Because sometimes words are just not enough. We need more. And we begin to search and seek out comfort in other places. We turn to counselors. We turn to TV shows. We turn to songs. We turn to activities, things that we think will fill the void that we have in our lives at that moment. We even begin to look for quotations by people that we consider strong Christians, as I consider C.S. Lewis, a strong soldier of the cross. We find comforts in statements like this by C.S. Lewis. Hardships often prepare ordinary people for extraordinary destinies. And we're comforted, at least for a brief second. Other statements like this. I suggest to you that it is because God's love, that God loves us, that he gives us the gift of suffering. Pain is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. You see, we are like blocks of stone out of which the sculptor carved the forms of men. The blows of his chisel, which hurt us so much, are what makes us perfect. And once we read that statement, we begin to say, so there's meaning to what I'm going through. C.S. Lewis even wrote a book called The Problem of Suffering, in which he says that human pain, animal pain, and any kind of pain you can go through, those things are not sufficient reasons for rejecting the belief in a good and a powerful God. Those things help us for a little while. And then as soon as we put the book down, the feeling of abandonment is over our heads again. The point of my lesson today as an introductory lesson to this series is to tell you that you are not alone. You're not alone in feeling abandoned by God. It's not something that makes you weird or different or less than a Christian or less worthy to be called a child of God because you find yourself feeling like that from time to time. Because if it does, I dare to say that many people in the Bible that we look up to were less than followers of God. The psalmist cried out on several occasions. Psalms chapter 6, verse 2 and 3 says, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me. My bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Lord, how long is it going to be before you address my hurt? Psalm 77, verses 7 through 9. Will the Lord cast me off forever? And will He be favorable to me no more? Has His mercy ceased forever? Has His promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has He in His anger shut up His tender mercies? The psalmist says, what is going on? I have been begging. I have been pleading. I have been crying out. And I am getting nothing. Is God mad at me? Psalms 83 and verse number 1. The psalmist says, do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace. Do not be still, O God. The psalmist says, Lord, now is not the time for you just to be there. Just to sit there. Just to stand there and say nothing. Now is not the time, Lord. Please don't be quiet. Why? Because I need to hear something. I need confirmation that you are in my life. And without that confirmation, I don't know what I'm going to do. Jesus on the cross, Matthew 27 and verse 46, which is a quotation of Psalms 22 and verse number 1. Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groanings? Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane in Luke chapter 22. When he said, Lord, take this cup away from me. And he said it three times. I believe with all of my heart, Jesus thought his father was going to do that. I believe that he thought his father was going to rearrange things in such a way that he would not have to go through the agony of the things that he wanted to avoid. But it didn't happen. God let him went to the cross and he was willing to go to the cross because he loved us. But it still did not take away the hurt, the pain and the agony that went along with that journey. And while he was in pain, while he was in hurt, while he was in agony, he said, Lord, where are you? Father, where are you? There's only one thing that makes us cry out, God, where are you? And those are dark moments. And everybody has them. Those are the moments that you close your door, you turn off your light, and you cry. And you cry. Your wife doesn't even know what's going on. Your husband doesn't even know what's going on. Your children don't even know what's going on. Your parents don't even know the children are going through it. We don't know when the widows are doing it or the widowers are doing it. We don't know when people are mourning because of the body of Christ and things that have happened within the body of Christ. But it's the dark moments where we feel like no one can understand, where we feel like God may not even be listening, that we rack our brains trying to figure out, Lord, what is happening? It's the same sentiment of Psalms chapter 86, verse 1 through 6. Turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 88, I'm sorry, and let's read these verses right here. And listen at what the psalmist says in these first few but powerful verses. Psalms 88, beginning with verse number 1. Psalms 88, we're going to begin at verse number 1. Listen very carefully. O Lord, God of my salvation, I have cried out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to the grave. I am counted with those who go down to the pit. I am like a man who has no strength, adrift among the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more,
whom are cut off from your hand. You have laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness and in the depths.
The psalmist said, Lord, I don't know what's going on here, but I know one thing. I'm in a pit of darkness and you know where to be found. Charles Spurgeon had this to say about Psalms 88, verse 1 through 6, or the entire chapter. He says this, what a collection of forcible metaphors, each one expressive of the utmost grief. Heman, who the psalmist is talking, compared his forlorn condition to an imprisonment in a subterranean dungeon, to confinement in the realms of the dead, and to a plunge into the abyss. I like this right here. Spurgeon said the flesh can only bear a certain number of wounds and no more. But the soul can bleed in 10,000 ways and die over and over again. Every hour. Spurgeon said this about his own life. He said, I must confess here with sorrow that I have seasons of despondency and depression of spirit, which I trust none of you are called to suffer. And at such times, I have doubted my own interest in Christ. There was a book written back in 1961. The title of the book is called A Grief Observed, written by N.W. Clarke. This book here is one man's experience with the grief that came following the loss of his spouse. It's a collection of his thoughts. He didn't know what to do, so he wrote down the experiences that he was going through after he lost his spouse. Here's what's said in one section of that book. Meanwhile, where is God? This is one of the most disquieting symptoms. When you are happy, so happy that you have no sense of needing Him, so happy that you are tempted to feel His claim upon you as an interruption, and you remember yourself, and you turn to Him with gratitude and praise, you will be, as it feels, welcome with open arms. But go to Him when you're in need and desperate. When all of your help is vain, and what do you find? A door slammed in your face, and a sound of bolting and double bolting on the inside, and after that silence, you may as well turn away. The longer you wait, the more emphatic the silence becomes. There are no lights in the windows. It might be an empty house. Or was it ever inhabited? It seems so once, and that seeming was as strong as this. What can this mean? Why is He a so present commander in our time of prosperity and so very absent a help in our time of trouble? You say, Brother Tony, there's got to be something wrong with that guy, N.W. Clarke. He can't be a Christian. This was a dark moment in this author's life. But there's a problem. That name, N.W. Clarke, applies to someone who doesn't even live, who doesn't even exist. Did you know that? That's a fake author. Do you know who wrote that book, A Grief to Observe? C.S. Lewis. The very same man that said, human pain is no sufficient reason to reject a belief in God. In one portion of this book that you can now get with his name actually on the cover, this book was published first in 1961 after his wife died. You see, the problem of pain and suffering was published back in 1940. 21 years later, he published this book where he began to question his faith. And you know what it says in one section of this book? He says this right here. What I am going through right now in my life and feeling that God is, I'm paraphrasing, feeling that God has abandoned me, I don't think it's going to lead me into a doubt of God's existence. He said, I believe in God. But he says, what I do think it may lead me to is doubting the very goodness and benevolence of God. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care where you think you are. You may be here to where you can defend the faith. You may be right here to where you show people that the problem of pain and suffering is something that God allows us to go through to make us strong. You may be here to where you can show people how there's a benefit. And you may be able to quote these scriptures from James chapter 1, which says, endure trials, because the testing of our faith produces patience. You may be able to quote 2 Corinthians 12 verses 8 through 10 where Paul begged God to take the thorn in the flesh away from him, and he prayed 3 times that God would do it, and God said in verse 9 that my grace is sufficient for you, for when you are weak, I am strong through you. And Paul said, I now rejoice in my infirmities. You may be able to tell that to people, and you may be right here. But I'm telling you, if it hasn't hit you yet, and I hope it doesn't, you can very quickly move from here to here. It took him 21 years. It took him 20 years with the loss of his wife, Joy, who in the book he refers to as H. And you know the reason he published the book in the name N.W. Clark? Because he didn't want anybody connecting the book with him. Everybody viewed him as a strong child of God, a strong Christian, a strong defender of the faith. And he didn't want anyone connecting this book with him, so he produced it under the pseudonym N.W. Clark. He had to get his feelings out there. And when he died, that's when his name was actually put on this book. So yes, you may be over there right now, but don't get so high-minded. Don't become so caught up in the moment and the goodness of God and how good He's been to you in your life, and you attribute the goodness of God and the success that you have in life with the fact that you can't go through anything bad. And when you do go through something bad, then God is not there. Because I'm telling you, when you serve God, the goodness of God, and God allowing you to go through things, it's all a part of the journey. But if we haven't gotten to this point yet to where something has rocked our lives, something that's turned us upside down, something that's made us question our faith, then we don't truly know how it feels to get to the point to where we've been abandoned. We think we do. And we try to understand. But if it could happen to C.S. Lewis, it could happen to you. If it could happen to Charles Spurgeon, it could happen to you. If it can happen to David in the Psalms, it can happen to you. If it can happen to Haman in the Psalms, it can happen to you. If it can happen to Jesus on the cross, where He says, Father, where are you when I'm hurting? It can happen to you. So how do we move from doubting God's presence in our lives when we are hurting to actually believing that He's with us? How do we get to that point? How do we have faith that God is present when we're going through things? I'm not sure exactly how to establish that faith in you, but I want to help. And with these series of lessons that I'm going to go through, we're going to look at some things in the scripture that can help all of us come to the conclusion that no matter how far it seems And that's the key word to my series. No matter how far it seems, God is away from you. Like that poem said, He is carrying you the whole time. And we can have faith in believing that. And right now in my life, I'm right here. The way I teach these series of lessons to you, I am right here. And I pray that I never make it here. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to look at, maybe I may change this, but we're going to look at, can we trust what God tells us? We're going to test the credibility of God. Because I believe in trying to have faith in the presence of God, you've got to determine if He's credible. If you can establish that He is credible, you can then move to the promises and hang hope on the promises. So I hope you can be back for that. I hope you can bring some friends who may be going through some things. And these lessons, I think, no doubt will help them as well. But if you're here today and you felt abandoned by God, even though I know you're not, and you know deep down in your heart that you're not abandoned by God, nevertheless, it doesn't change the reality of your feelings. Let us pray for you. Let us help you. Let us help you through with what you're going through. If you're here, you're not a child of God, and you want to become a Christian through faith in Christ, you're ready to change your life. That's repentance. Confess Jesus' name and be baptized so your sins can be washed away. Then do that as well. Tomorrow's not promised. Tomorrow's not promised. But whatever your need is, if we can help in any way, please come as together we stand and as we sing.